these stories exist and it takes us looking for them to uncover them, but then you have this amazing responsibility of being the keeper of the story and spreading it. And it feels so good in today's world. Like this feels good to me. Like right now I'm craving to feel like I'm doing something.
Hello and welcome to Revolutionary Woman. My name is Tess Silverman. Women around the world are constantly creating ways to make a difference in their communities, and today's guest is no exception. Nikki Padilla Rivera is co-owner of She Shapes History NYC, which shares the hidden history of women who built New York City. By day, she's a brand marketer and lives with her two small kids in Queens. Instagram is her social media of choice, and she could eat Vietnamese food every day if given the option. Hi, Nikki. Welcome to Revolutionary Woman. How are you this evening?
Good. I just came from having some wine and fresh burrata with anchovies. My belly is very happy.
Oh my gosh. For our listeners, where are you currently?
I'm in Rome for the week.
That's amazing. Good for you. How is the weather?
Oh, it's so nice. I just came from New York where it was, 2 feet of snow and then it was 60 and then it was cold again.
Oh,
so here it feels like proper spring. It's lovely.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Good for you. Okay. So you were born in New York City, but then moved to the suburbs of Connecticut and Delaware. What was it like for you growing up in the suburbs?
It's funny. Whenever we would be out and about and someone would ask, oh, where are you from? My parents would always say New York.
Really?
We sort of were always passerbys in these other places. So I was really much raised like, we're New Yorkers. We're just living in these suburbs. So I really adopted that. Our family was back home. So every summer we'd be in the city and for all the holidays we'd be in the city. And my mom's rule was never more than 2.5 hours outside. But in the end, I actually think it served me. I was always very resentful as a kid. I always wanted to go back to the city and I hated living in the suburbs. But all of my cousins who grew up here, they all left. They don't really appreciate the city. They don't value it as much. And for me, I feel like I still, every day, I'm just so grateful because I know what it's like out there. I know what it's like to not have an option of Vietnamese or Yemeni,
Oh, I so understand. Yeah, I moved from New York almost six years ago to Virginia Beach, which is lovely. I have family here. But it's not the same. It's not the city. Yeah. And I do miss it. I still have family there. So we try to go as much as we can. But yeah, it's so funny because when people ask me, I still say, oh, I'm from New York. I'm a New Yorker by heart,
It's like, it's a mentality thing.
Yes, it is. And I love what you said. It's like, I may be living somewhere else, but I'm really a New Yorker.
Yeah.
And I don't think that attitude ever goes away. It's so funny.
No.
Or at least that mindset. It's not an attitude. It's a mindset, because you're so used to it. Like when you grew up there, I grew up in Queens. So I so understand. It's like, different neighborhoods. But like you said, there's always a variety, of what cuisines are you going to go, even in Manhattan, especially in Manhattan, what cuisine do you want to go into tonight? What would you like?
All my friends, everyone spoke a second language at home. Mm-hmm. Everyone had a different language and they celebrated different holidays. And it was just so, it was so different. It was so different.
Yeah. So you recently started an initiative called She Shapes History, it's already She Shapes History in Australia. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, you've been in the travel industry as a New York tour guide. What attracted you to have a career in the travel industry?
By chance, which I think is the majority of people who work in travel. I was in college and I was planning on studying abroad. I was studying Italian and I really wanted to go to Italy to study. So my grandfather at the time was a volunteer tour guide for a company called Big Apple Greeters. They still exist.
I know that, yes.
They're phenomenal. Uh-huh. It's a completely free service. It's all retired New Yorkers and you can book a tour for free. And a New Yorker will take you around. And so my grandfather loved doing that. He took people on tours all the time. And there were always way more people who wanted to book than guides. So they all got to, pick who they wanted. And he would always pick Italians because he was Italian-American.
Okay.
So I thought, this is perfect. I can volunteer at this company. I'll take out all the Italians and practice my Italian so that when I go to Italy, I'll have a base. So I really wanted to learn the language well. So I was doing this and I was a volunteer tour guide. And when I graduated, someone kind of mentioned, that's like a job. You could be a tour guide. And I was like, great, I'll be a tour guide until I figure out what I want to do with my life. And then, here we are decades later.
That's amazing.
I've never really left.
So have you always loved traveling?
My grandfather and grandmother traveled a lot, which was very uncommon. They traveled all over the world. He won a contest. He worked at Bloomingdale's and won a contest to travel to Rome. And it was so crazy. Like no one had ever traveled for leisure before in our family. And they just got the bug. And so I grew up that my grandparents were always, they've been to Asia, they've been South America, they've just been all over. And so I think I was always aware of that and interested in that. Mm-hmm. And because of that, and being in Queens, that they would always, they were attracted to those people. So my grandfather was a language partner volunteer. Mm-hmm. So when I was a kid, we were always going, he would have these partners from Japan. Mm-hmm. And for cherry blossom season, we would go and have a picnic with them in Central Park.
Right?
Have people from China and we would go to their house for Chinese New Year. So I was just always surrounded by people from other cultures. So I think I had a real interest in that.
Uh-huh.
But it truly, like when I started tour guiding as a job, now this is a very long time ago, I truly saw it as like my due diligence as a New Yorker in that, people come to New York City all the time, right? Mm-hmm. It's top of everyone's list. It's their dream. They come to the city. Mm-hmm. They come here for a week. They never leave Times Square and they say, I don't know how you could live here. And it's like,
it's
you've done it wrong.
Yeah.
You've done it absolutely wrong. Like that's why there's tons of other places and ways to be and slower ways of life, even for New York City. And and so I think I took on this role in that job of like, it is my job to teach the tourists not to get in our way, where to go, what we're really like, how to manage the city. Like it was a little selfish in a way. And that really became a passion of mine of really seeing tours specifically as this really important way to translate that information and to educate people.
Wow. That is so cool. It really is amazing because as I'm listening to you, I'm like, oh, geez, every time we had family from here or somewhere else, like, people coming in from the Philippines, we would be their tour guides, especially my mother. My mother just loved taking them into Chinatown, and I would take them into like other parts of Queens or especially just in the city. But then we'd go off to like Jackson Heights, for Indian food. And I'm such a foodie. So, of course, I'm like, okay, let's go for here, for that. But it was wonderful because they saw another side of just not just New York City, right? And
yes.
I think that's the most important aspect of it is because you get to see the real neighborhoods, not just like the tourist spots, which is fine. When I'm in a different country, I like going to do the tourist spots. But if I know someone local, I would prefer it's like, okay, where is the best place, that we can go for coffee or food or whatever. So. But that's really cool. I love that. So your grandparents' travel bug, as you said, it kind of jump-started it for you, right?
I think so. And I think almost this sense of, as you're talking about that, local travel is such an overused term now, and it's almost used in a bad way. I think there's a little bit of a snobbery about what's the best way to travel and what's legitimate or not. But I truly think I got this interest of like, I am so happy when I'm the only person in a room that doesn't speak English. Like that to me is, I feel such privilege. I feel such excitement to be this chance to be this fly on the wall and to see how other people do things and to be there in that room. So I think I got that from my interactions in New York City through my grandfather. And then through working in travel, I eventually went on to Intrepid Travel and I trained tour guides. I managed like over 1,500 tour guides of our walking tours.
Wow.
And so when I was traveling for work, I was going to offices in these small neighborhoods. When I went to India, I didn't even go to Old Delhi. I was just in the new part of town at my colleagues' houses and we'd go for something to eat afterwards. And so I got to see these really amazing parts of the city that maybe aren't as interesting historically, but I think I'm much more interested in modern culture.
So as you said, like you've traveled to different parts of different countries. Did you ever feel unsafe? Because as a woman, and if you're traveling alone, a different country that you're unfamiliar with, did you ever feel unsafe?
No.
Okay.
And I think that's a little bit, you know, where we're told we should feel unsafe, and there certainly are places that are unsafe for anyone. Yeah. And depending on your demographic and your gender and all of that. But I think I've just been very lucky, and that I've almost always been meeting people and and have, at least, even if I've been on my own, have had that opportunity to ask and think about that. And I think being from New York, it was something that I was very hyper aware of. Right. You know, you get these street smarts that I think translate very well. You know, once you've been on one subway, you can kind of figure out any subway. You know, you can kind of figure out, like, you don't want to go on an empty car. Like, you don't, you know, you want to be with all the people. Right. Same walking down city streets. Yeah. And and even I think, you know, the sense of, it's hard to, not that it's hard to shock me, but I remember when I went to Israel, this is a very long time ago, it was very shocking to some people on the group I was with. That was a fam tour, so I was with other travelers, but travel professionals. And, you know, for me, seeing, I don't know, military up close, seeing Hasidic Jews up close, like this, none of this was shocking or different. It was like being in Williamsburg or, you know, being in Times Square next to all the security guards. Right. So I just think in New York City, we're so lucky to have so much exposure that you have some sort of familiarity. India is a great example. I went to India and the team there was all female, which is rare, which is very rare. But I remember I got to, you know, and they had arranged everything for me. They arranged for a car to pick me up from the hotel or the airport to bring me to the hotel. And I read, this is when I was looking for Intrepid, and I met another Intrepid guide in the lobby. He kind of saw me by myself. He's like, "Oh, are you here for a tour?" And I was like, "Oh, no, I work for the company I'm here." He's like, "Oh, well, you need anything? Like, here's my number." And he gave me his card, and it was his business card. He had his personal tour guide business card. It had his information on one side. And on the back, it had tips, safety tips for females.
Really?
Wow. And it was you know, very brief. It was small on the back of this business card, but it was like, you know, be aware of your surroundings and be aware of, you know, getting too close to people and just sort of putting that in your head if it weren't already.
Right.
And I remember showing it to my female colleagues who are Indian, and they just rolled their eyes. They said, "I can't believe he gives that out to people." Because again, not that those threats aren't there, but you know, I was with women the whole time, and we went into the female only train cars, and it just, there are ways to be safe in all these countries. Mm-hmm. And I think if you do get to spend time with females there, you can learn from them.
Okay. So, like I mentioned before, you are the co-founder of She Shapes History. What is She Shapes History about, and what prompted you to get involved in it?
So She Shapes History is a tour company dedicated to uncovering the hidden stories of women. So our main goal is to tell the stories of women you've probably never heard of, but you really should have, because the thought is, how can we respect women today if we don't acknowledge their accomplishments from the past? And it was started about 4 years ago in Australia by the founder named Sita Sargent. And her and I are connected because I was in this travel world, and we'd gotten connected because, you know, I was a female. There's not very many females in leadership roles in travel, and I was very often the only woman in the room. So I was very often the token female, for lack of a better word. I was called in to do different things in panels because I was like, "Oh, Nikki's the woman. She can come and she could speak." So we were truly connected, I mean, for better or for worse, through that. They're like, "Oh, Nikki, you're a woman. She's starting this female tour company."
Oh,
and so I was very lucky to be introduced to her right at the beginning. She had zero tour experience. She just woke up one day and she realized that the capital of Australia, Canberra, is where she's from. And she found out that the capital city, the layout, had been designed by a woman. And she was like in her 20s. She was like, "How am I, this young feminist, like, how have I never heard this?" And she started doing digging. And she realized in Australia, especially at the time, there was just zero lack of acknowledgement or records of these women. They were not taught in school. They were not common knowledge. So she started these tours simply as a means to share these stories. And it has just blown up.
Amazing.
It's incredible. I mean, it's a specific market. It's right time, right place. But I think Australia was looking for this, and it filled such a void. She has gotten amazing awards and grants, and she has politicians private messaging her, and she's now in 4 cities. She's hoping to be in almost 8 by the end of the year. Wow. It's incredible. It's now her full-time job, which is incredible for walking tours 4 years, and it's just unheard of. Wow. Or not unheard of, but it's very remarkable. Mm-hmm. And so she was talking one day, she came to visit the United States and she passed by New York, and she's, you know, talking about her plans, and she's very like, here's how I'm going to make $1 billion in 2 years. Like, she just has big goals. Uh-huh. And she's like, I want to expand. Like, I want to franchise, or, you know, I want to go outside of Australia and see what that could look like. And in my head, I'm thinking, you've got to do this in New York City.
Yeah.
This, like, it would do so well. It's such a unique product. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. This is about a year ago now. Mm-hmm. And so it's funny, all 3 of us have very different versions, but my version of how this happened is I connected her with Beth Santos, who is the owner and founder of Wonderful, this amazing network for women travelers and female traveler creators. They run WITS every year. Mm-hmm. And she's just in my head, like, an adult entrepreneur. Mm. Like, she owns businesses. She went to business school. Mm-hmm. Like, she really knows what she's doing. Right. And so I said, you have to talk to Beth. Beth would be the perfect person. She's all the connections. She could run this. And so she seated talked to Beth. And then Beth called me, knowing that I knew tours, and she was kind of asking me, what do you think about this, and would it work, and is there a viable business here? Yeah. And I mean, the long story short, at the end, I was like, okay, Beth, if you're going to do this, I want to do it with you.
That's awesome. I love Beth, and she is, she's
incredible.
She is such a badass.
Beth is amazing. I feel very, very lucky. Very lucky.
It's so funny because when I found out that you were going to co-found this with Beth, I'm like, of course, it's perfect. You know, this is like her wheelhouse, you know?
Yes.
This is amazing. And I love her book, Wonderful.
Yes. I have it with me right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm a quarter in.
She is amazing. And I loved it that she called you. So what do you hope people will be attending She Shapes History? What do you want them to get out of it?
I want people to go on this tour and think, what else don't I know?
Hmm. Yeah.
Like, who else haven't I heard of? Why is this the person that I think of achieving XYZ? Mm-hmm. Why is that the case? Who has said so? Who else might have been involved? I really want this. You know, we can only fit so many women into a 2-hour tour. Right. Yeah. We have a huge list of women and only so many can make it. So it's really, we want to tell these stories. We want people to hear these stories.
Okay. I love that. So with people experiencing constraints right now with traveling outside of the country, you know, or traveling into the States, either due to finances or travel-related issues like visas, what do you hope to bring, you know, to people in addition to what you already said? Is it something like somewhere down the line you would do this as a webinar or a Zoom thing?
Yeah, so we could. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's something about being together. Mm-hmm. It's a very, you know, it's a tour, and I would never describe it any other way, but it is very different. You're on there. It's very intimate. Mm-hmm. You really get to know each other. It really sparks conversation. You really start talking about these things. Another medium that we've been using is Instagram, because it's just makes sense. We have all these women to tell their stories. Like, what better than tell 60-second stories on Instagram? And it's funny, for my day job, I'm in brand marketing. So I'm very precious about what it should look like and how to craft and how to optimize it in the best way. And I really had to let go of that and say, you know, we just need to put it out there. We just need to experiment. And it's been doing so well.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's wild. And, you know, that's going viral on Instagram is by no means an indication of ticket sales at the end of the day, but it shows that there is this hunger for this information. So I do hope that by going on podcasts, we've gotten so much amazing press. Like, there is such satisfaction personally for me to simply tell these women's stories and to have more people hear them.
I love that. So is there a cutoff in terms of the number of people you would have on a tour?
Yeah, we want to keep it small. So we'll keep the groups to about 16 people max. We'll have some exceptions with private people. But yeah, we want to keep them small. We want it to be manageable. Mm-hmm. And it's been interesting. We've just launched. Uh-huh. So we're now just starting these tours, and we've had a couple of previews, and we're about to start our public tours in a week. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really, really cool. So it's been really interesting to watch people experience it, especially, you know, they're locals. They're not people who would ever take a walking tour of New York City at all. But then they come on. It's like, no, no, this is for you. Like, this is something to do with your friends, with your family members, with, you know, we're getting a lot of interest from work groups, all these affinity groups, you know, they want something to do. It's not just going for drinks after work to bond with their colleagues, to like hop on this tour and learn about these women and have these conversations. It's really deep, the content.
I love that. So I'm wondering, would you ever open it up to schools?
Yes. I have been cold emailing teachers. Anyone listening knows a better way to reach out to teachers. Yeah, I think this would be, I would love to get this in front of high school students, junior high school students, because the entire concept is that, and this truly came from CETA. So Beth and I, we, as you said, we almost like made this agreement in the moment, and we're like, all right, let's just do this. And within a month, we were on a plane to Australia. Like, we didn't even know each other that well. And we're on this plane to Australia. It was the first time I left my one-year-old at home. Oh, like, it was the week before Thanksgiving. Like, it was crazy. Wow. But we went, and we went on these tours, and I'm so grateful that we did because it's so different. And I would have just written a historical tour about women. But the way they've done it, it's so counterintuitive for a tour guide. I'm training our tour guides now, and you can see it's so hard for them. The goal is, as I said, we want people to remember these stories.
Right.
And so the way to do that, people can only retain so much information.
Yes.
That's it. So you just need, there are amazing facts about these women and nuances and crazy connections and all this, but you don't need all that to get the message across. And if you start getting too much of that, the message could get lost.
Right.
So we really, I mean, we're like 10 minutes max on each woman. And then we move to the next one. And there is no filler. Like, I was walking through the tour with the guides and like, oh, but we passed this building. We could talk about this. Or, oh, what if here we, I'm like, no, we have to trim. We have to trim. And that is so different because then what happens is these guests are like talking about these women in between. When Beth and I were in Australia, one of the stops that really sticks out is they were talking about this woman who is from Tasmania, and she was like a real, I don't know, she was always in jail and getting caught for this, and she was a real, like, not woman of the night, but this rogue story, right? And there's this plaque in the square where it used to be these slums where she lived with everyone else. And there's a plaque of her and it lists her as a prostitute. And now the tour guide was saying she very well might have been a prostitute. Like, we don't know. You know, she was in that crowd that was happening here. She might have been. But I just think it's interesting that that is what we've chosen to label her as. And then she just moves on. And she doesn't talk again until the next stop. And she just kept leaving those little gems.
Yeah.
And immediately you turn to the person next to you. You're like, oh my God. And that makes me, she's so right. And that thinks this other person, you know. So it just really sparks these amazing conversations.
Right, right. Because you put that in your head and you're like, okay, what's the story behind that?
Exactly. Or where else have I seen that? And what does that make me think of? And she's just, we do that. I've never thought about that before. It's such an interesting experience.
I love that. And I love the formula because, like you said, you know, there's only so much attention, you know, that people have in terms of especially historical facts.
Yes.
So I love that because it is succinct, right? And then if you are interested for more, then you can look on your own or ask that.
Exactly. Or ask the guide.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. You can walk up ahead and ask the guide. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's so cool. Oh, I love that. You know, and I love that it's going to be launching next week. Is it next week? That's wild.
March 21st. March 21st is our very first public tour.
That's wild. Okay. So have you had a lot of interest in terms of booking and sort of tickets?
Yeah, we've had a lot more private interest than public, which is very interesting. But I think it's hard to figure out how to find people. Like, again, a New Yorker is not going to take a tour, and we're not going to publish it in any place that wouldn't be for locals, there's really no like where do you advertise that, right? Mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot of just, there's a shop by me in Queens. Mm-hmm. It's a female-owned shop, and she has accessories and gifts, and it's a wonderful shop. And I asked her if I could have a table. Mm-hmm. And so one sunny day, I had a table out on a Saturday on the sidewalk in front of her shop. And I was just talking to people. I had a big banner and all these postcards and stickers. And it was so interesting just sort of grabbing people on the street. And, you know, people kind of wander over and be like, what is this? And kind of explain to them, like, this is a tour. Like, this is something you could take, you know? Yeah. It's interesting to try and figure out how to get in front of that demographic.
Yeah. And, you know, the curiosity, I'm sure, is like, wait, okay, so what is this tour about? And why would I be interested in it? And especially if you're talking about New York, right? Because there's so many things that I didn't even know about until, you know, till recently. It's like you're digging for these gold mines, and it's like, it's so wild to know that, because when I read what it was about, I had never heard of anything like this in my travels, you know, or even being a New Yorker. So I thought that was really interesting. What are your goals for She Shapes History?
I mean, I would love to help CETA bring this more places. Mm. I would love for this to be a thing in multiple cities, and for this to be something that people seek out. Mm-hmm. For these to be things that people, you know, in Australia, they've gotten such amazing partnerships because all these major institutions are reaching out to them to have them run female-themed tours of their institutions.
Wow.
And how amazing, because it's so thoughtfully done, and it's so ethically done. I mean, just the things that she thinks about. And, you know, right now we're working on language for the tour. Like, okay, here's a queer activist. What word are we going to use? Are we going to use queer? Are we going to use gay activism? Because that's what it was at the time. Like, it's so mindful of those words. And it's, I think you have to be so delicate with this material, because the reason these women are not talked about very often in tours is because there's not a lot of content about them.
Right.
We have this setback of like, oh, but if it's not in an official source, then we can't use it, you know? And it's like, well, but okay, but who's in the official sources? It's very limited then who you can talk about. And to be able to talk about these women as full people, the other side of it is that we have these heroes that we've built up, especially in the United States, where then, you know, God forbid we talk about their faults, and that becomes treasonous. And, you know, Martin Luther King is the example Beth always brings up of Martin Luther King did amazing things, and he had a lot of affairs.
Yeah.
And that doesn't have to discount the good work, but these are humans. And so on these tours, we're not trying to convince you or sway you of anything. We are simply presenting the facts.
Yeah.
We're giving you the context and where we got that information.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's up for you to decide it. These are not perfect people. These are humans.
Right. Yeah. Who have done amazing things, but
who've done amazing things.
Like you said, they're still human, you know?
Exactly. Huh. Exactly. Maybe that allows us to leave a little room for all these other people as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Wow. I think it's so cool that you and Beth embarked on this, because it is so, I believe it's really the right time, you know, because so many things have gone on, look, especially recently with everything going on in different countries regarding, you know, how women are being treated. Okay, what else is new, right? It's like this has been going on for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to say, you know, this woman made such a contribution, but we don't know anything about her. Why is that? You know, it's like, how have we not known about this woman? You know, like, who's been hidden, or maybe you know a little something, but then there's layers beneath a person, right? So
yes,
that's, I love that. So who would you credit for where you are now?
Me personally.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I talked a lot about my grandfather. I think that shaped a lot about of this way of looking at the world and how there's, I don't see a normal, like I understand that everyone's normal is so subjective. And I think I really got that from him and being exposed to so many different ways of looking at life from a young age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think from my mother's like a classic second wave feminist, and that for better or for worse has really informed how I feel and how I react to things and how I see myself as a woman in the world and how I move through the world. I'm very conscious of that because of her.
How cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because as you're saying that, I'm wondering, like, who were my role models? Or, and I couldn't really say because my parents came from the Philippines and they were here to make a better way of life for their kids, which was wonderful. But I kind of felt like, you know, I had to figure that on my own and find my own voice just from reading or even going to the movies, you know, and finding, like, you know, how women were being treated, even in silent screens or even in all types of movies. And just like, okay, well, I don't know if I would necessarily, you know, relate to some women who are being subjugated, of course, in a lot of, I guess, mediums. But at the same time, I learned to figure it out, as well as like talking with other women who became my close friends, you know. So it's wonderful that you had role models that really kind of paved the way for you to like, okay, I know what I'm capable of, and I know where I come from because of what they've gone through, you know.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. And I think, I mean, maybe the negative side of that is that I tend to assume things will be harder and then I have to work harder. And that's probably developed an unhealthy work ethic in myself. But I also seek that. I mean, I've always been the only girl. In high school, I was on drumline. Wow. And I was the only girl. And then, you know, moving into this career where I was very often the only woman, like I think I sort of naturally found that because I'm stubborn and I'm competitive. Uh-huh. And I think I like to weasel my way in and see if I can do it and then see if I can excel.
Yeah, I love that. That's so cool. Okay, so if anyone wanted to know more about you and She Shapes History, how would they go about it?
So we are sheshapeshistory.com/New York City. You can see all of our tours there and about the greater She Shapes History as well. And then on Instagram, we are She Shapes History NYC. And we've been trying to put out a lot of stories of these women.
That's awesome. So is there anything you would like to say to my listeners?
I would challenge everyone to find in whatever your area is geographically, in your job, in your hobbies, like these stories exist. And it takes us looking for them to uncover them. But then you have this amazing responsibility of being the keeper of the story and spreading it. And it feels so good in today's world. Like this feels good to me. Like Beth and I both have full-time jobs. We both have young kids. It's a lot to take on. Yeah. But it feels so, I just right now am craving to feel like I'm doing something.
Right.
And this feels like doing something. And I think that could be done by anyone, wherever they are, by just finding these women's stories and helping to acknowledge that past.
I love that. I love when I can find or someone recommends a woman as my guest who I never would have known about. For me, it's like, it really is like, you know, researching for that person who's like, I never would have known anything about you or your country or what, or the work you're doing in your community had I not been referred to you or had I not found you online, you know? And I think it's so cool because like you said, it really is. There's so many women out there that we would never have known about, you know, and are now we're finding out about them. And I think it's about time, you know?
Yes.
I think it's about time.
And you never know where these sources are going to come from. I mean, I've been telling so many people in New York City, one of the women on our tour, Fenia Mendel, I found out about because of Zohra Mamdani.
Wow.
In one of his campaign videos, he was going around telling just stories of different people, different activists. Mm-hmm. And he mentions this woman, Fenia Mendel, who I'd never heard of. And I looked her up and I, like, again, it's like, how do we not know of her?
Yeah.
It's incredible. She was with Margaret Sanger opening up the very first reproductive health center in New York City, in Brownsville and Brooklyn.
Really?
But her name is never mentioned.
Wow.
Never. So inspiration comes from everywhere.
That's amazing. I love that. Okay, now I have to look her up later. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you had one thing to change that you wish you had done years ago, would there be one?
Oh, I wish I were better at saying no. earlier on. I've gotten better at it. I still struggle a little bit, but I would have saved myself a lot of stress had I learned that earlier on.
Okay. And my last question is, if you could go back in time, what advice would you give your younger self?
That I don't have to prove anything. That I should give 110% because I believe in something and that I enjoy it, but not because that's needed for other people to acknowledge that's that awesome. I'm good at something.
I love that. Thank you so much. Oh, wow. Nikki, thank you. It's been a really, really great conversation and I love what you're doing. And I can't wait when I come back to New York to visit.
Yes.
I plan on taking up your tour. I don't.
Good.
I
absolutely.
Will let you know. As soon as I know the dates. But thank you. I love that you and Beth embarked on this. And I think it's so amazing because, again, more women that we have to like find out what their stories are, you know, that it really is such a great, I think it really is the moment for us, you know, for
yes.
women to be able to be celebrated, to be acknowledged and celebrated. It's like, it's so needed. Oh my gosh, especially nowadays. But thank you for sharing your work and your life with me. And I can't wait to do your tour when I'm in New York. And, you know, please keep in touch. And with that, have a great evening. Oh my gosh, and enjoy Rome. Have a great
thank
evening.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's our show for today. I've posted more information about Nikki Padilla Rivera on RevWoman.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in every other Thursday for another episode of Revolutionary Woman. You can listen to Revolutionary Woman on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Just a little note, I've launched a Patreon account to support the show. All proceeds will go to producing and editing the episodes to give my poor husband a break from being my personal IT and production department. He wrote this. The address is patreon.com/revwoman.